T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome! Bill Michaels Show is on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. We are always glad you are here. Thanks for hanging out with us. We certainly do appreciate it on this fine, beautiful day through much of the state of Wisconsin. I know there's some few showers in the upper western portion of the state, but beyond that, everything is looking pretty good, kind of feeling like summerish type of weather. And outside of football season, even though you're wrapping up the rookie mini camp. And the orientation, everything that goes along with that. Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, Bill. How are you?
We're doing well. I wanted to ask you, first and foremost, you wrote the article about Aaron Rodgers, and now that Matt Ryan has signed his deal, Aaron said a while ago it's not about being the highest paid player, and now that Matt Ryan's done, what's the holdup? Why haven't they gotten this thing done?
You know, I can't. There's a lot of money at stake, and there's a lot of structure to do. You know, where do you want to put the cap money? Because they have a lot of flexibility in the way they structure this. How big is the bonus? The guaranteed money can be $110 million, but the bonus could be $20 million, and it could be $60 million. You know, there's just a lot of things they can do there, so they're probably working some of that out. Really, after with Ryan being done, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they make an announcement in the next couple of weeks. Now maybe it'll drag out, but I'd still be really surprised if it's not done by the start of training camp. I'm basically shocked if it's not done by then.
Yeah, originally I thought it might be done, you know, right away, and then as time went on, I thought, I wonder if it's just going to be one of those training camp announcement things where, you know, he gets the deal, and then the next day they all enter camp, and then kind of go from there. But I don't know what the holdup is now. I don't know why the reason would be that they don't get this thing done and to his satisfaction. I mean, I said a while ago, I said, look, put a check out there. Tell Aaron, go write the check, and just remember whatever you leave for everybody else, that's all we have to sign somebody. So here you go. I mean, that's about it.
Yeah, you know, he obviously was waiting for, you know, these other guys to get done. And Ryan, I think, is the last domino to fall. I don't know that whatever Brady does really matters. He's the best in the league. He's also 41, I think, later this year. And he's probably going to do a shorter term deal. So that probably isn't a factor. So well, now that the Ryan domino has fallen, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe it is, maybe it's basically done and, they're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's and, you know, they want to wait. They have some day that they, you know, special day that they want to announce it. You know, you don't know for sure. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's done in the next week or two.
If it's not about being the highest paid, do you think it is? Do you think that this is about making him the highest paid?
It's got to be. I mean, and, you know, there are ways to do it. There's agents play all these funny games with these contracts because there's new money and there's the real pay. So he's got 2 years left. So the way that the league does it and the way that the agents say it, they can make him the highest paid with new money by adding 4 years to the deal and making them each worth, you know, an average of like $32 million a year. But actually, it's a six-year deal, and if you include these 2 years, the 2 years remaining, he'd actually be making, it'd be more like $28 million a year. So they can still call him the highest. That's what they did in his last contract. So they can still call him the highest paid, even though the actual real average per year over the 6 years, he'd probably just be about tied with Matt Ryan. And I think Cousins, too, is right around there, too. So there's a lot of wiggle room here. But, yeah, I think it is, you know, about acknowledging that he's one of the best, clearly one of the best two quarterbacks in the league, and you know, needs to be in some way to be able to say he's the highest paid guy.
So now that we get past all of that, the guys that are coming into this camp, the rookie camp that just concluded, have the Packers done enough in your eyes to really make this team viable?
You know, a lot depends on how much help they get from the rookie class. You know, you look at the Saints last year, and that rookie class made a huge difference. Now, that's pretty rare, I think, to have a class like that, but it obviously can be done. I think they need one of these corners to be a pretty decent player as a rookie. I'm still not sure where the pass rush is going to come, if they've come from. I wonder if they think Beagle and Gilbert are going to help more than a lot of us think, or that we saw last year. Or if they think Pettin's going to make a really big difference. You know, even with the way things turned out last year, before Rodgers got hurt, they were a very good team that was contending. Now, I think the Kevin King injury would have done them in, because they were so short at corner, you know, short of talent at cornerback anyway, that his injury would have done them in. But, you know, they should be up there, but whether it's enough to get them over the top, I think a lot depends on, you know, at least one and maybe a couple of these rookies being pretty good players right off the bat.
I was talking with Mike Clemens yesterday. We were talking about the size of these guys. It's clear that they went for size. It's clear that they said, we're going to try to get taller and faster. There's no doubt about that. So as much as I want to say, did they accomplish that, my question then becomes, how does that then translate into what it is you're trying to do, more so than anything?
Yeah, and that'll just depend on, you know, for now, they're taller and faster. Now, if a couple of these guys aren't very good, or if they don't make the team, then, you know, then they're no taller and no faster. But, yeah, it's really clear with those receivers, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and guys running, you know, 4.48, one of them ran 4.48, and the other 4.37, which is really fast. But it'll just have to show up on the field, some guys making some plays down the field in the passing game. You know, maybe being a little bit faster on defense. You know, that's where it has to show up, because that's why you do it. But yeah, they were. I mean, there's no doubt. There's no coincidence that all three receivers that they picked were big, tall guys.
Also, I wanted to ask you about Mike McCarthy, because McCarthy coming into this season, he's changed a lot of parts, gotten a new general manager. I mean, all the different things that you think that he wanted to do. Now, if you don't win, is Mike McCarthy on the hot seat?
Yeah, I gotta think so. I mean, he's been here a long time. He's done really well, won a lot of games, really good winning percentage. But there is a little bit of a sense of emptiness. You know, one Super Bowl win with this quarterback. You know, it was. I think they had aspirations. I'm sure they had aspirations to win more after they won that Super Bowl in 10. I remember thinking, man, this could be a run of, you know, like three Super Bowls in 5 or 6 years, something like that. So yeah, the he's going to get hotter, because I think if you'd asked him right when the season ended what he would have wanted to happen, he would have said that they would have moved on from Ted Thompson and made Gutekunst GM, said he'd get a little bit more of a say in personnel, which with everybody reporting to Murphy now, I think that's got to be part of what's going on there. So, yeah, I think with things working out that way, a little more responsibility and accountability falls on him, and you know, that's what he gets paid for. And yeah, if this is a tough year, he could be very much on really shaky ground.
Talking with Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com, and Mike Pettin, he gets a lot of speed. He gets some size. He's got some veteran experience back. You know, I've heard things. Andy Benoit was on a little bit earlier saying, look, for Pettin, it's not about his defense and the outside pass rush. It's all about the cornerback play and what he can do with the versatility of the corners and the safeties. If that's the case, are we worrying too much about this whole thing regarding the outside pass rush?
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of truth to that, and I'm reading, you know, there's a book where a reporter embedded with the 2011 Jets, where he was defensive coordinator, and he's a big part of this book, because the guy, the reporter, spent a lot, you know, almost all his time around the coaches, and that, you know, that does sound like a big part of his defense. But, you know, when he was in Buffalo, those outside rushers, Mario Williams, and I'm blanking on who the other guy was. It was a guy from Texas Tech. I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, those guys had a lot of sacks in the one or two seasons that he was there. So I still would argue that, you know, outside rushers are guys who win the games. Now, inside rush is important too, and he does a lot of blitzing and other things, and it is, the cornerback play is huge. But, man, this game is all about slowing down. To win the title, you got to beat Brady and Ryan and Drew Brees and guys like that. and they get the ball out fast, and the best, you know, you still have to find a way to make them uncomfortable and get pressure on them, and you need pass rushers to do it. And I still think scheme can only do so much for you. So, I mean, maybe they'll prove me wrong and have a really good pass rush this year, but, you know, I'm going to be a little skeptical until I see it.
I wanted to ask you, Doug Peterson, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, for what he's done over the last couple of years, Doug Peterson has gone for it on fourth down by far more than any other coach in the National Football League. The first year he was criticized for it. Last year he actually ended up winning a Super Bowl in part because of that. Do you see more of the NFL going in that direction?
Yeah, if I were a betting man, I would. I think the analytics, the more they study that, the more it's pointing to that. I didn't look at it real carefully, but I saw somebody had posted a story online about, you know, when they drafted the punter, about the different metrics where you punt from. And it basically, the gist of it was that pooch punting is a waste, and that if you're that close, if you're over the 50, you either should, the analytics say either go for it or kick, try the field goal, and don't punt it because it just isn't worth, you know, you just don't get enough of a payback.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I bet over the next 3 to 5 years we see a lot more of that as teams study that and get and hone their ideas more. And I think in the offseason is when they make those decisions. So, as far as we know, a lot of teams saw what Peterson did. They're looking at their own numbers and maybe have similar plans for this year.
Do you think you have to have that? Because they had a top-10 defense in many categories, the key categories being total defense and obviously points per game that were given up. Do you think that you have to have that defense to rely upon to say, hey, look, if I fail, you got to be able to bail me out?
Well, you want it, and you sure could use it. I don't think you have to have it to win a title. If your offense is good enough, it's got to be really, really good on offense then. And that's where that fourth down stuff comes in, because you can put a game away, or you can give yourself a 2 or 3 score lead if you go for some of those fourth downs and you get them. And I think now it's starting to point to where, you know, remember when Belichick a few years ago, didn't he have the ball in like his own 30 and they were playing the Colts and it was fourth down with a couple minutes to go and he went for it? It was like 4th and 4 or something like that, and he didn't get it and they lost. But his thinking was probably pretty good, that if they punted and gave it to Manning, it wouldn't make any difference. He was going to take him down and beat him anyway. So, you know, it's obviously both sides of the ball are huge, but sure, you can win big and win titles, you know, with a top, you know, a defense maybe around, you know, 20 or 18 or 16 and an offense that's as good as anybody in the league.
Before I let you go, one more, and that is, in talking with Aaron Rodgers, we know he's itching to come back. We all believe that the shoulder and the collarbone are going to be good. But the backup quarterback position probably becomes more prevalent now, as it did a couple of years ago when he went down. How comfortable are you with DeShone Kizer? And they talk about this competition at camp. I can't imagine, as much as they want to give an open competition to let Brett Hundley be a part of it, after what we saw last year, you don't make the move for Kizer if you have a lot of confidence in Hundley. What happens there?
Yeah, agreed on that. I would think the smart money would be, you know, pretty strongly on the Kizer. There's a ton of talent there. I mean, he can really wing it. You know, you saw that game against Cleveland. He's got great arm talent. He's a huge guy. I think he's like 230. He runs well. He escapes well, all that stuff. But, you know, there's a big red flag there. You know, he went 4-8 his last year at Notre Dame, and it's not like that program's lacking for talent. And then, what was it, 0-13 or 14, whatever it was last year? So that's a big red flag about, because there's more to playing quarterback than just having all of that physical talent. You got to be a quick decision maker and make good decisions really fast and all that. And he may not have that. I think you got to be a little skeptical about it till you see it. But obviously the Packers really liked him. And, I would say, you know what, 70% chance at least that he's their number two this year.
Always good stuff, my friend. Pete, we certainly appreciate it. Read your stuff all the time. Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes, okay?
Oh, it's always fun. Thanks for having me as always.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, pal. There you go. That is it. That's Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they begin to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. When we come back, Go Left could be for sale. Tell you what I'm talking about. Coming up next on Bill Michaels Show. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Want to remind you, Cousins subs, they are so, so good. So good. And they're based out of Wisconsin. They stick with Wisconsin, the upper Midwest. They use a lot of this. The Wisconsin cheeses, Clement sausages, Sprecher root beer. They believe in better, and they stick close to their roots. That's what they do. That's what they do. They know who they are. They could be the biggest, baddest, and best. They know who they are. Where better is never just a word. It's a you know, kind of a way of life for them. That is Cousin Subs. I highly recommend a pepperoni melt. You're going to watch some Brewers baseball tonight. Maybe you're going to the game. Take that plunge. Go in and say, I want the Bill Michaels. Pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese on the Italian bread. Get the side of Rodeo Joe. And head down to the ball yard. Head down to the ball yard. Or if you're going home, watch the game tonight. Sit back and relax with one of those things. You really want to get crazy, get the big one. First four innings, eat the first half. Last four innings, eat the second half. In between, burp a lot. Make some room. That is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. I don't know how many of you, there's a lot of people that really enjoy motorsports. But it has become, in today's day and age, where baseball is trying to speed up games and the NFL is trying to do things to keep your attention, you go to NASCAR races and to motorsports, and you're watching, in essence, the same thing and a little bit of pit strategy. And for some of you, you enjoy some of the accidents. Some of you just want to see good racing. But regardless, you're trying to kind of hang on to the attention span. NASCAR's majority owners reportedly in talks now to sell their stake in stock car racing and sell the sanctioning body. The news agency Reuters says that three sources confirm that the owners have been working with Goldman Sachs to identify potential buyers, as attendance and television ratings for the races, they're terrible. And I said this before, I'll say it again. Once you took it off of over the air, it's when they say it's on Fox, it's on FS1. When they say it's on NBC, it's on NBC Sports. Once you took it out of the mass media, it was dead. It's like boxing. It was dead. It's great if it's there, it's in front of you, and it's free. But the minute you started taking it to some of these offshoots of the networks, even though it's NBC, it's NBC Sports, not NBC. Once you did that, it's dead. I don't look for, it used to be something that if I was flipping along some of the over-the-air channels, whether it was 4 or CBS 58 or Fox 6 or whatever, and once I started flipping through and it was there, I was like, oh, okay. I stayed and watched it. Now, if I can't find it, to hell with it. I don't care. You ripped apart the casual fan and you tore them out of the ability to go watch a race. That's what you did. Because that is not a sustainable industry on its own. You have to have help from freebies over the air. Because otherwise, we don't care. You know, you got, and they brought Toyota in years ago, and that pissed people off. And then the drivers weren't from the South anymore. They weren't the good old boys fighting one another anymore, and that made people mad. And then you had dominance out of Jimmy Johnson for so long, and that made people mad. And everybody loved to hate Jeff Gordon, and he was the pretty boy, and that made people mad. And it was just a lot of little things. And you know what? And you wouldn't expand into other racetracks. Everybody, you know, there's racetracks that get two and three races, and it just, you weren't introducing yourself into different parts of the country. I mean, it just, a lot of different things happened. The privately held company, founded by Bill France Sr. back in 1948, remains controlled by his descendants. But there are people that are now saying it's run its course. It's run its course. NASCAR, at least according to the rumors, is up for sale. The France family saying enough. Enough. We just might not be in the racing business anymore. And I'll be honest in this sense. You know what? You got drunk on power. Your popularity boomed about 15 to 20 years ago. Boomed. And you got arrogant and stupid. and you jacked your prices up. To run a car in any of these races now is ridiculous. Sponsors, the sponsorship money just isn't there anymore the way it used to be because people are getting smarter with it. You're not nearly getting the bang for the buck, and that's partly your fault because you negotiated a deal to go on the cable channels rather than strictly on the over-the-air with Fox and CBS and NBC the way it used to be. So you hid it from people, and you were trying to still charge sponsors the same amount of money. So you basically killed your own sport, and you can't figure out why. It's considered a bombshell when the rumors broke that they are considering selling NASCAR. Again, Reuters reporting it and then other entities coming out with it. A local TV station in Charlotte, North Carolina, first raised the prospect of a sale going all the way back to January, actually, during the media tour. In its report, could NASCAR be in play for a new owner? That was according to WBTV Charlotte. Speaking with former Charlotte Motor Speedway executive H.A. Humpy Wheeler about rumors of a possible sale way back then. And he actually brought up the prospect that there could be those on Wall Street that may be interested for the right price. But you got to find a track that is owned privately, that you can run the marketing for it, you can make the money off of it, and you got to get back out on over the air. And you're going to have to negotiate a hell of a deal to do it. And then once you get the popularity back, then come the sponsors, then comes the money. You know, the old adage is you can't put the blank back in the horse. Well, you not only the horse is out of the barn, but he's running free and pooping all over the place, and you can't put any of it back because you've screwed it up.
The problem is, too, right now, the sport is going through this transition of stars because you have a younger crop of drivers that are now in this series, and you've had a lot of the older guys retire.
And I've been saying this for a while, too. All these older guys that were going back down to the Nationwide Series and whatever they call it now, the Xfinity Series, mm-hmm. to race, that would be like Ryan Braun and company and Eric Thames and Sogard and everybody going back down to play minor league baseball games. You're not developing stars in the minors to then come up to the majors. The majors are going back down to the minors to kick the hell out of the little guy. And, they were getting in fights over it and everything. It was just, and people are like, well, why? This is stupid. And the only reason you did it was a cash grab. Hey, we're slumping in the Xfinity Series. You got to put a couple of our stars down there. So they ran teams down there. And they drove down there. They needed the extra practice. My ass.
Hey, we got Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick. All right.
Yeah,
cool.
You're doing it for the money.
Right.
That's what you did it for. And again, it takes away the popularity of some of the other drivers that could be in those cars, that could be winning races and could be the stars of tomorrow. Instead, they have to burst onto the scene all by themselves and nobody knows who they are, unless you're a hardcore race fan. And that's not who you're trying to draw in. Your hardcore race fans are always going to be there. Don't take them for granted, but understand that they're always going to be there. It was the casual, I want to look over the fence. It's kind of cool. Maybe I'll watch it a little bit. A bunch of colored cars going past me at 200 miles an hour. That's kind of cool. You turned them off. You just did. Let's do this. When we come back, earlier today, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, William Henderson, former Green Bay Packer fullback, he joined us in studio and talked a little bit about bullying and about some of his events coming up, but also about the Green Bay Packers and all the changes that have been going on in Packer land. We will talk a little NASCAR when we come back. Mike is in Sauk City and Scott's in Cudahy. I want to get your thoughts on this, but then we're going to hear from William Henderson as well. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this. Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show on the air, and don't forget we are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Summer coming, May 30th, Wednesday Night Live back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion stage. Rebel Grace will be the first band this year. Put it on your calendars, we'll see you out there. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We're going to hear from William Henderson, the former Packers fullback. Coming up here momentarily, I want to get back to the NASCAR chatter real quick. Mike, listening to us in Sauk City. Mike, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Doing well today. What's up?
Oh, interesting topic this is with NASCAR and basically selling out for the cable network. I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but this definitely got me thinking about another topic, and that is the NBA. I'm a big Bucks fan, have been for years, but didn't see a lot of games for a long period of time. This year I bit the bullet and bought the cable network or the Dish network, and now I got all the games.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids, who had never really watched the NBA previous to this, love it. And they've just never been exposed to it before because we didn't have that that cable network. And it made me, you know, this year especially, I think about the difference between the NBA and the NFL, where the Packer games are always on at the house and, you know, other football games. And I guess my question for you is, why is the NBA mostly a pay or a Dish network or a cable network compared to the NFL that's not? And do you think it hurts them?
That's a great question. I mean, they do put NBA games on ABC on the weekends. They just don't do it. Yeah, they just don't do it weeknights.
Let me tell you the problem with that. Mm-hmm. If the Packers were that way, it'd be really hard to follow the Packers team where maybe you're going to see a game or two a year. And it's just not enough.
Well, the NFL, I mean, they put, you know, the games that they put on, and I appreciate the phone call because it's an interesting question. I mean, the NFL has hinted at it for years that they would take it to pay television and basically make you pay to watch the NFL, and they just haven't done it. Baseball did it. Baseball did it a while ago. They remember the old game of the week? That's not around anymore. You very rarely get those, you know. But the NFL has stayed on over the air. But the NFL doesn't have to. I mean, it's kind of like killing the golden goose. You know, you get, again, it goes back to what I'm talking about with NASCAR. You get more viewers when it's free. Therefore, you can charge more to sponsors because more eyes are seeing it, as opposed to taking it and doing the cash grab, but allowing less eyes to witness your product and then trying to squeeze the same amount of money out of the sponsors. It's an evil catch-22. You have to have the product that people want to go find. And trust me, look, if the Packers went to pay-per-view, Packers fans would watch pay-per-view. I mean, the bars would be just jammed. You know, any bar owner would be crazy not to buy it. But the NBA has been a different animal for quite some time, but they still give you kind of the Sunday or Sunday night game of the week where they'll put it on ABC and you'll get that game. But you don't get the NBA as much, like Major League Baseball, as much as you used to. Now, the difference is we all know our local channel. You know it's on Fox Sports Wisconsin. You everybody knows where that's at, you know? Where you don't know is whether it's FS1, or you don't know whether or not, when it comes to NASCAR, if it's FS1, if it's going to be on NBC Sports. And it's so buried in the channel packaging that sometimes if you're flipping around and you're not sure where it's at, you're not even sure if it's on, you go, if it's not on those two, if it's not on the over-the-air, I'm not going to watch it. To hell with it. I'm going to go find something else. And you start watching golf, or you watch Brewers, or you watch basketball. I mean, something else. There's something else that grabs your attention. And that's part of what NASCAR did. They killed themselves in doing so. Real quick, Scott and Cudahy, then we got to get to William Henderson. Scott, how you doing?
Hey, Stan, Bill, everything you say is correct. I'm a old-school NASCAR fan. I've got boxes and boxes of VHS tapes of NASCAR races going back to the days even when Dale Earnhardt Sr. was killed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it goes back to, is as I call it, the Kenseth factor. When Kenseth won the championship in 2003, he didn't win a race that year, but he placed top in points. Because of that, they changed the new system of the new chase for the cup situation. But, yes, I don't watch it as much as I did because, yeah, the same problem. They used to have on local TV. I don't see it on the local TV. I've got cable, but I'm having some issues where I'm having to get rid of cable, so now what am I supposed to do? The other problem is, too, the radio itself. The races used to be on like, some of the local radio stations. I have to scramble sometimes trying to find on the radio stations. I can't listen to the race. It's ridiculous. The only thing I got to do is go on the actual, on the internet or something to see the results and stuff. But yeah, NASCAR has killed themselves with all this. And I says, they lost me. I was a diehard NASCAR fan, taped every single race, watched every single race for years and years and years. And now it's like, it is a dying sport and they're hurting themselves. Yeah. You can't even get close to the drivers to get an autograph. You have to try and make an appointment.
Yeah, they do those autograph sessions. It used to be you could just mix them and appreciate the phone call. But look, in today's day and age, everybody's less accessible. And that's the unfortunate thing of what's gone on in our terroristic-filled world, okay? I mean, it is what it is. But I'll go back to saying what you said about the inability to find it in a hardcore race fan. The other side of things, it's very hard to field a team in a lot of your local tracks. A lot of local tracks are closing down. The interest hasn't been there. They got to do more and more and more and more just to bring fans out and still charging the same price and making less and less profit. You know, you've got some good tracks. I mean, there's some really good tracks in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, I can think of Slinger right off the top of my head. Slinger is a fantastic track. And then you've got the La Crosse Motor Speedway out there. I mean, that's a really fun place to go and watch races there. Our buddy Dan Diker from out there in La Crosse. He's the voice out there on the track. I mean, there's really good stuff that goes on it there. They've got a track out in Madison. I mean, there's some, but the smaller tracks are gone. There's just not enough teams out there anymore. There's not enough backyard mechanics anymore. It's not something handed down from father to son anymore. Therefore, the interest begins to wane. It all is grassroots. Real quick, let's go to Austin, listening to us in West Dallas. Austin, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing well, doing well. Hey, I mean, everybody brought up a lot of really great topics on this, and I think there's so many different kind of cogs to this wheel that kind of made NASCAR, and I think a lot of racing in general kind of fall down the same path, but I mean, NASCAR really, obviously, with the different changes they made to kind of make the championship more exciting throughout the final stretch, while not really seeing if the fan base is there to watch and pay attention and enjoy it. But I do think, as well, the quality of tracks. You had a lot of mile-and-a-half cookie-cutter tracks that saw two events, maybe even three events with some of those a year, neglecting a lot of the short track events that you could have gone to. The Xfinity Series and Camping World Series both went to these same events as well. They didn't go to Slingers, which they could have. They went to the same tracks and events, hoping to gather those same expensive crowds that got the Cup Series in. And then you also saw just a non-expansion from good racing, especially in road courses, where you did always see good racing there. We only really went to two road courses, and even with Road America, we've been there for about 8 years and still haven't gone to Cup Series date yet set for that. So I think there's a lot of things that they just aren't keeping up with a lot of the changes that just naturally happen in a growing kind of environment, especially in a technology-driven world. So a lot of great points, Bill.
Yep, appreciate it, man. He drops off. You get on board, 855-830-8648. I did like last year with IndyCar. When IndyCar came to Road America, they had a great app. You could follow your favorite driver. We had a chance to sit there and watch the drivers that we were kind of following on our phones. So when they weren't visible to us at Road America, they were on our phones. We could sit there and watch them. And, we could sit next to the track. I mean, granted, you're sitting next to the track for IndyCar, and it's like, here they come, boom, there they go. That was it. That's all you saw. It was a blink. It was a blur. There was nothing. But you could follow them on your phones as to who was in first place and what was going on. And so there's some technology there that they continue to boost and boost and boost, and things have gotten better in that realm, but there's so much more, I think, that racing can do. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. I promise you, William Henderson, who joined us earlier today in studio, you're going to hear from him coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show. Welcome back to the program, Bill Michaels Show. Final segment before we get out of here. William Henderson, the former Packer running back, or former Packer fullback, joined us in studio early today. Early came in, got some events going on, and it just started out just kind of chit-chatting because he brought some friends with him. Just what's he been up to?
Oh, man, I'm having a great time coming back to Wisconsin as much as I can, you know, trying to support the community that supported me for so many years.
Right.
This year, got putting in my second annual Henderson's Ride for Hope up in Port Washington, Wisconsin. Look forward to everybody coming out on June 15th, 16th.
That's
hang
a
out
cycling one where you're pedaling.
It's pedaling, but you don't have to ride the party.
And
we've got party. It's more of a party than a ride.
Right.
We do have the ride on the 16th for those who want to come out and exercise with me a little bit. But if you just want to come out and have some beer, have some great time sitting in the park, enjoying wonderful bands. And Cold Dock Park, Port Washington, Wisconsin.
Unbelievable. Really nice
unbelievable. Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous place. Not too far from Milwaukee at all. 15 minutes outside the city.
It's not bad.
You can come up and hang out with me. I got several of my boys with me this year. Dorsey, 11, Santana Dotson, Tony Fisher, Doug Evans, Najee Davenport, Matthew Dorsett, Tyrone Williams. And the Olympic speed skating team is coming out to hang out with me as well.
Oh, that's
so
not bad at
it's
all.
Going to be, you know, a bunch of guys wanting to come out and do what we can to help fight bullying, to help the Child Advocate Center of a Lakeshore Regional Child Advocacy Center.
So when they talk about cycling, how far do you cycle?
I'm probably going to get about 60 miles in.
Really?
But,
okay.
Yeah, I usually go as much as I can and how long I can. If time allows me, I'll stay out there and ride all day. And, you know, but
do you do it every day or?
Not right now. Unfortunately, I'm only getting probably one or two rides in a week. Okay. I want to get more, but time and weather, you know, kind of hinders a lot of things.
Right.
But you know, it's just one of those things that I'm not anti. I'm not playing any longer.
Right.
So
it's just the anti-William player.
Well, anti-William trying to play football, not going to happen anymore. Right. So I got to do what I can to keep in shape, and I have a chance to do something with a purpose right now and support young ladies. But I got my buddy Maddie here with me today. She's our spokesperson for the year. And if I can ride for a purpose and ride and help stop bullying, I want to do that, and that's what I'm trying to do. And Maddie, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Go ahead and tell us about you and why you're part of the anti-bullying campaign, Maddie.
I have been bullied my almost entire life, and so I thought this was a good way to kind of, like, help with it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Help stop other kids from being bullied.
Yeah.
So Maddie's now, you're homeschooled now, Maddie?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so bad in school?
Yes.
And we're just hearing so many issues like that.
Right.
Kids are being pulled out of their safe haven. And we want to get it to a point where they can feel safe again and help the community understand that they got to support each other.
Right.
Child advocacy is the avenue. If, unfortunately, you don't feel you can do it on your own, they are that bridge between the public and the legal.
It's funny because we talk about it. I know Leroy Butler goes on and speaks on that kind of stuff all the time, and every school has the anti-bullying campaigns, but you almost get the feeling at times that it's words. You know, unless you take an active approach and really kind of spearhead something within your school,
well,
it becomes words. It really falls on deaf ears.
Well, that's why we've taken the approach that we got to get in there. And I'm actually one for being actively going in and trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a counselor. I do support promoting the counselors and the available community within the school and within the neighborhoods to commute in the communities to support and to help encourage ongoing neighborhood relationships, but I do what I can to help kids understand that they need to do what they can to help other people, weaker people than they feel that they are, to help promote them and support them so that they can rise and reach their true potential. And young ladies like Maddie are amazing, and who've been bullied and unfortunately bullied, and we want to do what we can to help these young people have a voice and be stronger and live the life that they're supposed to live. And unfortunately, bully side has taken over and become our number one reason to get out there and be actively trying to do so. Bully side is taking over as the number one cause of death for teenagers.
So, Maddie, real quick, and I'm going to ask you just one question. So what could have been done, do you feel, would have been done or should have been done in your situation to the point that you didn't have to leave school?
People could have easily helped better, and school could have done a lot more.
Yeah.
But they couldn't since it was on social media.
Okay. Yeah, that's another area that's, you know, I've always said it's Twitter muscles. Every faceless, nameless people who can say something without any repercussion, it is what it is.
And a lot of it just is a re-education of what really is the responsibility of the community. And right now...
And parents.
But again, we just have to do a better job of reaching out and educating. And it's an active participation.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be just a passive that, it's going to fix itself. These are just kids being kids. No, it's not. And it's gotten to the point where literally young ladies like Maddie are being asked to end their own lives and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place for that in the community. And we have to, again, understand it. We can only build stronger communities when we actively try.
Yeah, the number one thing I've always said is screenshot. Get it. Put it out there. Say, this is the person that's doing this. And then, you know, there's so many more people like Maddie out there than there are the bullies, unfortunately. The bullies are the one that are heard the loudest.
Well, the reason why we're supporting child advocacy, because the teachers in the schools have their hands tied in so many ways. You can take a screenshot of the picture. You can send it to the police. But there's a lot more legwork that needs to be done.
Right.
And programs like how advocacy.
Oh, no, it goes right to the parents. If the parents aren't going to do anything, then you're really kind of screwed with your youth today.
Right. So that's why we had to get advocacy involved, because then you start bringing the legal in, and that's when people really take notice and they start putting some pressure on the kids to stop.
Yeah.
And
no doubt about it.
Again, education, but that again, child advocacy is a nonprofit program. And we got to support them.
It's coming up June 15th and 16th. If they want to get more information or want to join you, how do they do that?
They can go to hendersonsrideforhope.com, or they can come out to one of the many events. We got tomorrow, we have a kickoff party at the Scene One restaurant on 5526 North Avenue, 5526 West North Avenue, Scene One restaurant. You can come out there and help support. Beaufort Dean is doing a kickoff there tomorrow night with us. Beaufort Dean Beer. And then we've got events 18th and 19th of May, Exquisite Threading. They're showing support to us through all their
exquisite
locations.
Exquisite threading.
Exquisite threading is showing support.
Is that how you got that shine on your head?
Hey, man.
They took all the hair out?
Trying to make me look as beautiful as I can, having the ball dome glow, baby.
See one hair come up, and they're threading that thing right the heck out of there, without a doubt.
Hey, man, bald is beautiful.
There you go. Hey, I do want to talk a little Packers with you. So, I mean, I know you pay close attention to all this stuff, but how, as a player in a locker room, and you've seen some different coaches, when you see coordinator changeovers, your player position coaches get changed over. I mean, everything's been changed over for McCarthy. And I've said on one hand, it's good because you get new voices in there. It can be a different of ideas. You bring back a good guy like Joe Philbin.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there's nobody really left to let go but the head coach himself. Sometimes you paint yourself in a corner when you say a new voice is needed. So give me your thoughts on the changes that have taken place in Green Bay.
I'm loving a lot of changes. I mean, I'm not trying to beat Don Capers down. I think he's been a tremendous coach. He's had some success for many years. But I think we needed a fresh voice in calling and creating a defensive format that's going to create some confusion and some frustration for other offenses. And I believe that the talent pool that the Packers have had for the last few years and the group they have coming up, they do have depth. But they haven't been playing to their true potential. And I think creating some more scheme, some more dynamic defensive blitz packages are going to get the offense more opportunities with the ball because they're going to frustrate the opposition. Offensively, we lost some key players and we've lost some coaches that people have had some they've had a lot they like, but they truly haven't shown that they were so
right.
great that we couldn't replace them with somebody else. Philbin is – if you get Philbin back in your arsenal.
Yeah.
Coach Joe Philbin is amazing.
There you go. If you want to hear the rest of the interview, go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Sleep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.